Okay, we're live, both on the telephone and on the broadcast via the internet. It's so good to be with everyone tonight. Welcome to our Tuesday Night Life of Celebration. I think that's what we call it, right? Celebration of Life. It just didn't come out right. Thank you, sweetheart. Celebration of Life. It's so good to be with you. A great way to start this new week after a holiday. Tonight we're going to be talking about mental creation. Now, many of you have been through this, I think all of you have been through the coaching program, either individually or in a small group. It's so important that we become familiar with the tools. Again, go to augmandino.com, augmandino.com. Scroll down, click on member login. It's one of the options on the bottom left-hand side. Put in your username and password. If you have a problem with that, send an email to Nikki, N-I-K-I, at augmandino.com. She'll help you change your password. When you get to your assessment results, that's the first thing that shows up. In the top navigation bar, it says My Assessment. The next says Creation Tools. Click on the Creation Tools so that you can have access to, I think there's probably a couple or 3 hours of material on this particular subject of mental creation. You have the right to download that audio to an MP3 player for your ears only. It'd obviously be a copyright violation to do it otherwise, but for your ears, you have the right to download the audio, put it on a smartphone, put it on an iPod. You can burn it to a CD, again, for your ears only, and take it along in the car with you when you're exercising. These are little bite-sized pieces, 11 minutes long, 15 minutes long. I think the longest is maybe 30 minutes, to give you an option of driving these principles deeper and deeper into your life. Well, tonight we're taking on the second quality. If you're on your creation tools, you can click on the second quality and you can see the resources as I share these with you. I take you to a moment of my life, a very dark moment. I just about taken my life. It was pretty dark. Thought my insurance policy was the only solution to our family's challenges. We've been kicked in a few too many times, years into this challenge, paying back, facing $1 million in debt. And I remember early the next morning as the sun was coming up, obviously different decisions were made. And I remember crying out. I longed to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. And I learned that it was my cry. In other words, the way I was using my vivid visualization, my mind, was to try to find ways to get rescued. I wanted it to be easy. I wanted it to be less painful. I wanted it to be more comfortable. I was tired. And I discovered I needed to change that cry. That cry wasn't going to work. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How to change that cry. We're going to begin that process at least. What we want to understand is the creation, the intentional creation of anything, good or ill, is done in two different phases. First is mental. We create it in our mind. We get a clear vision. If we do this properly, it'll ignite our passion. Passion then assists us with the second phase, which is physical creation. That's then doing the work in the physical world to bring to pass that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. We begin to understand that the mental creation piece is designed to give us a vision that will ignite our passion. We'll receive or have manifest inspired ideas, impressions, or solutions to the challenge. Now, I want to emphasize that mental creation requires vivid visualization. It's an absolute requirement. So we see it clearly in our mind. This isn't don't vividly visualize. The message tonight is how do we use our vivid visualization in a way that supports creation instead of creating challenges, and where we want to look to find the answer to how we use our vivid visualization is to ask ourselves, what is our secret desires? What's our secret desire? What's our real intention. In other words, what's our real why? Sometimes we say our why is we want this house or this car, or we want to bless our children. It's not uncommon, and be okay with this. Not okay once we discover, but be okay discovering that our secret desire is really our why. It's when we're lying in bed at night and we're focusing on a life of ease. Are our real intentions that we want ease, that we want comfort, no more stress, no more pain, no more frustration? Is this really what we want? Or do we secretly want to engage in life? Are we excited? We can't sleep fast enough to dive in the next day. Do we want to engage? Do we want to embrace the real principles of creation? Do we want to connect and serve and create value everywhere we go and contribute to the world? Are these things that we truly want to do? I'm looking at a slide right now. There we go. I just was fixing a slide. I'm going to be talking about this week in Las Vegas. I'm so excited about it. This very principle. Do we want to do these five things? Engage, embrace, connect and serve, create value and contribute to the world. That's really a massive question. Or do we want to escape? Do we want to avoid? Do we want ease? Are we going to use our mind destructively? So let us examine this today. We've talked about this before. This is probably not your first time on this call talking about mental creation. If it is, it's not your first time learning these principles. We did that in a coaching session. So ask yourself those questions. Is it about escape or create? Is it about avoid or embrace? Is it about ease or significance? Ease or significance? Do I just want it easier? Do I want to be significant? Do I want to leave a footprint on this planet? Destructive or constructive? With the first set, we're relegated to a very self-centric life. With the second, we are in alignment with the very powers of creation. And we're in partnership with that power. So if we want it to be easy and we want to escape from it, just know we are on our own. And we're focusing on what we want. We're worthy to receive. I want my piece of the pie. Give me what I deserve. It's all about getting, taking, receiving. When we're in alignment with the universe, it's all about creating, contributing, connecting, engaging. Now, once we know what our real why is, we'll know how to use our vivid visualization, and it may require some shifts. If we truly wanted ease or comfort, etc., we may discover that we make the shift. But the beautiful thing is that the gift is the ability to vividly visualize. How we use it is either honoring that gift or frustrating the program. If we're using it destructively versus destructively, we're going to engage in fantasy and catastrophe and counterfeit forms of pleasure. If we're using it destructively, we're going to be swamped in doubt and confusion and overwhelming fear. That's where we're going to be. Now, if we want to use it constructively, we're going to engage in mental rehearsal. Remember that we talked about it in our coaching, mental rehearsal and inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, and goal setting. And we're going to get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. So destructively, we end up with doubt and discouragement and overwhelm and frustration. Constructively, inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. This seems like a no-brainer. And when we use it constructively, and we get this inspired idea, this impression, if we have our brain wired for a functional MRI, we would see parts of our brain ignite that are often dormant in a human being. It lights up something in us. Wow, it feels good. It ignites our passion. Passion drives our focus and and our discipline and our effort and our action to do whatever is required. Whatever is required to create in tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. We will work without counting the cost or tracking the time. So the question really is, what is our current habit of thinking? Where are we going? Is it serving? And what do we need to make the shift? I want you to look at your assessment. Your assessment we're looking at is the bottom right-hand side, mental creation. We're looking at the measurements self-direction, honorable, goal-oriented, coachable, pragmatic, and resolute. Self-directed. What is our source of inspiration, of motivation? What's getting up us and driving us in the morning? If this is blue or green, most of the time it's a want to, a get to, a choose to. This is a great place to be. If it starts turning orange, then we know that we're shifting into obligation. Have to, should, must, ought to, need to. This is painful. It's like carrying bricks on a backpack. Why? Why strap one on and make it harder than it needs to be? Because if we start functioning from a motivation of have to, should and must, I need to, we're going to get tired, prematurely tired. And when we get tired, we're going to rebel. And when we rebel, we're going to think about quitting. And we're going to start feeling guilty about even thinking about it. We're going to recommit and go back and do what we have to, should, and must until we are tired. And then rebelling, and then thinking about quitting, and then feeling guilty, and then recommitting and going back and doing what we have to, should, and must. We want to switch out of this area. Two, honorable. Honorable is a measurement that tells me what expectations your thought processes are placing on your individual performance. Is it realistic? Is it unrelenting and unyielding and wanting you to pursue the unachievable, perfectionism? No matter what you do, it's never good enough. Or are we spinning our wheels and biding our time? This is a detriment if we're into perfection and or just spinning our wheels. We're going to want a healthy and realistic expectation of our own performance. And we're going to want to focus on excellence, contribution, significance, and not perfection. Why not? Well, perfection is unachievable. Imagine. There we are. You became the first perfect human being out of 50 billion people on the planet. The whole world's come together to celebrate. And this thought process shows up and says, what's the big deal? And we say, well, so-and-so just was perfect. Well, of course, that's what I expected. Get back to work, everyone. We don't want to come from this space. We want to come from a space where we're focused on excellence, doing the very best that we can. Goal-oriented, this is that vivid visualization, the purest form of visualization about what we would like our life to look like, what we'd like to see happening, health-wise, financially, relationships. This is the thought process where that occurs. That thought process, by the way, is red or orange 97% of the time. It's very deeply focused, vivid visualization. Coachable just tells me how stuck we are, how open our thought processes are to new ideas that would bring value. Many are addicted to the vivid visualization, disappointment that life isn't showing up that way, so we're not having joy in the journey, and beating myself up, my self-esteem, because it's just not happening. Pragmatic, we're seeing this one more and more often. Pragmatic says, oh, I want you to be overwhelmed by everything that's got to be done to finally get to where you want to be. It's so focused on all the things that need to be done. It's got you so overwhelmed. When this measurement's in orange, that doesn't mean we won't be overwhelmed if it's green or blue. It just means that if it's orange, that's kind of the norm. That's a very painful place to be. And resolute, ask the question, how committed are we to a direction in our life? This could be relationships, business, all kinds of things. But the question is, are we committed? If that orange measurement's orange or red, just ask yourself, where am I unwilling to say I'm in 100%? I'm all in, as Kevin says in his book, Aspire, O-L-L-I-N. Am I all in, or am I just kind of sort of in, or sort of in for part of the time? What is keeping me from being all in? These are the thought processes about working from the bottom now. Commitment, obligation of what's got to be done, about being stuck thinking this way, about vivid visualization, about how we'd like our life to be, expectations for our performance, and our primary motivator. This is the thinking about thinking that controls our life and how we're doing. Now, we talked in the training. This is a very practical thing. I want all of you to break out your tomahawk. You got one when we went through the coaching. It's your left hand. Make it into a tomahawk. And we're just going to say, you know, if I've got some thought processes here that want me to engage in fantasy and catastrophe, beating myself up, not going there today. If you're on the video, you can see me chopping the air. If you're on the phone, just chop with me. Not going there today. Do it audibly so you can hear yourself say it. Not going there today. I'm staying in creation. I'm staying in creation. And what does that mean? What does it mean to stay in creation? We're going to go into five very specific ways. Now, I have to read this to you. Some of you have read this, and I remember struggling to say everything I wanted to say in these two paragraphs. This is the topic of gratitude. It's found in the book in the section on mental creation. This is about fantasy. It says, when we engage in fantasy or other forms of counterfeit pleasure designed to anesthetize reality we want to escape or we want to avoid, we can get a very unrealistic perspective of life. In fantasy, no one has morning breath or body odor. No one passes gas or burps. There is always oodles of money and no bills to pay, no work to do, no schedule to keep. We never get ill or have any accidents. We never get discouraged, frustrated, disillusioned, or angry. For some reason, we just don't build those into fantasy. While in fantasy, our car never breaks down. We never have to work late. Nothing ever gets spilled. Everyone gets along. There's always love at home. Committed relationships are filled with courtship, romance, and intimacy. Babies never poop, throw up, or cry. Everyone does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There is never an emergency or imposition. The sun is always shining, and everyone drives courteously. We get this unrealistic expectation of how life should be. It's just not the way that it is. So we want to practice. What can we do? And the first is called mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal is as vivid as fantasy, except for instead of trying to escape or look for a shortcut or an easy way, we're looking for a clear direction, a clear road. Now, we can apply this very simply in activities. I mentioned a few of them in the book. One was Peter Vidmar, who said, we kept our eye on the gold medal. He was a gold medalist at the 84 Olympics in the pommel horse, and the first time the men's gymnastic team beat the Republic of China since 1904. Pretty darn exciting. Peter said, we kept our eye on winning the gold. Nothing mattered beyond that if we did not win the gold. Think about your business. What doesn't matter if you don't do X? You might have, if you're in a company like a home-based business, pin levels. If we're thinking about the last before talking about the first and the second and the third and the fourth, it doesn't matter if we don't do these first. So we become this one, then we become this one, then we become this one, then we become this one. It's a natural outcome. We will eventually, through that hard work, become this one. Peter practiced for 12 years, 5 hours a day. Never once went beyond the gold medal. Isn't that amazing? I mentioned the tomatoes. A client who's going to be facing a difficult challenge. ask her to mentally rehearse the event, to actually sit there in the event and step into each person's world. And to learn, she learned in her mental rehearsal a lot about these people. Some of it she kind of picked up by innuendo, but all of a sudden began to understand it by focusing on them instead of her anger. She was going to a meeting where they were blaming her. She thought they'd be blaming her for a miscalculation, a financial miscalculation that was painful. And she saw herself with a paper sack and three tomatoes. She was going to hand them out when she got there. You know, if you don't like what I say, throw this at me. It was kind of funny. She thought it was humorous. Got there. She actually went to the store. She bought the sack and the three tomatoes and carried them into the meeting and set them by her chair. And they put her in the right mood. She stepped into each person's world. The problem was resolved. I asked her, what did she do with the tomatoes? And she said, I took them home and ate them. Now, the fact that she mentally rehearsed and saw tomatoes and didn't need them, we might say, was it accurate? She actually did need them. They prepared her to smile, to laugh, put her at ease that morning, really set up the whole conversation. We can also do this in our businesses, where we think about people and we are pondering this meeting we're going to have the next day. And what could I bring to make that presentation? I'm getting ready to make cold calls, and I start putting meat on these bones, on these names. And I start to get inspired ideas about where they might be, what they might be struggling with. Somebody might say, are we making this stuff up? I said, no, you're engaged in life. You're embracing principles. You're connecting and serving, creating value and contributing to the world. You are now a partner with the power that governs the universe. I call that power God. Give whatever name you wish, but you're now in partnership because your secret desire, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? We're focused on lifting and building people. That request, how could I show up? What could I say? What's happening in their life? That's when we get those inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. I've shared this all week because it was true. Sunday I had a little thing happen in the afternoon that kind of stung me a bit for a minute. And I'm sitting here looking at my journal right now. And I was writing in my journal. I'll open up to it right now. Bear with me just one half a second because I want to actually have it here with me regarding this meeting. Here we go. I was writing about in my journal this experience, and I felt a little And then I said, I will stay in mental creation. And I started pondering something. And I've got 7 additions to a project I was working on. 7 inspired additions. And I wrote at the end of that, I said, well, there you go. Creation flows. So much better than catastrophe. It's right here in the journal from Sunday. Yeah, when we start to go into catastrophe, not going there today, I find my journal helps me not go there today. I'm actually putting pen to paper and writing about it and going, wow, this is really ridiculous. This is not serving. I'm going to go into creation and then watch those ideas go pop, 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 pop. They've all been implemented since then. Very exciting discoveries. Some were just remembering things I knew and hadn't talked about for a long time. This is mental rehearsal at its finest. This is something we're going to want to engage in. Number 2, inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. This is a very simple concept of paying attention to the whispers. This is the way I'm writing it lately. Listen for the whispers and take the assignment seriously. Listen for the whispers and take the assignment seriously. We're asking for guidance. What can I create? How can I create that? How will I serve? I want to lift and build people. We're mentally rehearsing possibilities and an idea comes. Are we going to start doubting the idea, questioning it, putting it off, delaying, procrastinating? How serious are we about wanting an answer? We may have just received it. How about if we just act on it? Act on it. So pay attention to the whispers. Some of my most precious experiences as a coach have occurred when I listened to a whisper and acted on it, and was able to bless the life of another person, and in so, blessing my own. We trust and are trusted. We know and are known. Heals our self-esteem. The next one's called exploration. Exploration, we're considering possibilities without making tangible commitments. This is an important piece for us because we have lots of major decisions we're making throughout the day. We do not want to make those decisions if, in fact, we haven't explored the possibilities, all the practical applications. Okay, so I'm going to go buy this. Okay. What is it going to take to maintain this? What's it going to take to service this, to operate this, to ensure this? We want to be practical in our explorations, considering possibilities without making tangible commitments. It can help us make wiser decisions and mitigate or lessen the errors. It's a powerful way to use our mind. Another way is exploration, to explore possibilities explore possibilities such as like an etch-a-sketch. Now, these thought processes are systemic, so when we're exploring possibilities, the chances we could get attached to them, we want to very consciously explore it. Ooh, doesn't work, etch-a-sketch. Explore it, doesn't work, etch-a-sketch. Explore it, doesn't work, etch-a-sketch. The next one is problem-solving. We know these systemic thoughts are going to get attached. Right, wrong, win, lose. That's a risk. But we can use this to our advantage. Because when something goes wrong and the world is on tilt and we need a solution, problem solving will begin to come into play. We can just turn it loose to be thinking about it. Yesterday we were out boating with the family. We pull the boat in, we're getting it all cleaned up, and this family pulled up next to us with a couple of jet skis. And they had sucked up a rock, and it was right there in the outtake, right at the end. It was jammed in, creating some potential serious problems for his machine. And he needed a tool. He didn't have a screwdriver. Well, I had a Leatherman on board. I had a long Allen wrench on board. I had a long-handled wrench on board. Nothing seemed to work. I kept trying to bring him tools, and it wasn't going to work. Well, I went back to wiping down the boat, just thinking about, and it hit me. Boom, came. Just because I had consciously turned the problem loose in my mind where I went back to doing something else, it hit me, a tire iron. A tire iron has a sharp point. That's what he needed to pry it loose. Also has a long handle. I said, oh, do you have a tire iron? He said, oh, yeah. He had one of those. So he went and got out of the car, worked on it for a minute, boom, rocks out, and he's all set. How cool is that? That's just an example of problem solving. We can turn our mind loose, but we want to turn it loose on problems that are solvable. You don't want to turn this churning machine loose on something that's unsolvable. It'll drive you crazy. So that's problem solving. Consider the peaks and valleys, possibilities. Just say to yourself, there is a solution. I just don't know it yet. I might seek counsel from people. I might explore possibilities. But I can turn myself loose. Turn my mind loose. I can even go do something else, start working on something else. Boom, there it was. Oh, yeah, tire iron. That's problem solving. This is a great use of our mind. If we're in the middle of catastrophe or fantasy, problem solving isn't active. What we're doing is churning on something that's either awful or trying to escape the realities of life. The last is planning and goal setting. Planning and goal setting really applies to a couple of primary areas. One, I love discussing, which is relationships. Just so blessed to have Ramona here with us tonight and to have this incredible relationship with this amazing woman. And I must tell you that this is absolutely intentional. absolutely intentional. Now, in the goal setting exercise, and you can listen to this in your creation tools, step by step, we just suggest you go to a time in, go to a time in the future and envision what it's going to be like. Now remember, think about this. We are in partnership with the power of creation, asking for inspiration of what it could be like in our relationship if I showed up whole and complete each day. Do you think you might get a vision of what it might be like? Yeah, absolutely. I can still see it. I see it. I'm just sweater sitting on the deck of the cabin overlooking Bear Lake, holding Ramona's hand. I recently found a picture as close to that moment in time as I could find. Can you see it, sweetheart? Yeah, it's just a tender one of about an 85-year-old man kissing his wife's hand. That's just how I feel about that moment. I just can't wait to be there, to be able to say to Ramona, I've been faithful to you in every way and know that I have been. And you can, September 4th forward, no matter what's happened in the past, you can be 100% committed to a companion from this day forward. How beautiful is that? And to ponder, okay, this is what I want to create. What do I want to do every day, week, month, quarter, and year to create that? What could we do? Well, I can tell you, we got a couple of these coming up, and I got excited. I was coaching on this very topic this morning with a group talking about this, and I got warm tingly, sweetheart, because I know that on September 23rd, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, where are we going to be? She knows exactly where we're going to be. This has been a really taxing summer. Next 2 weeks, there's just a tremendous expectation that's going to require a lot of energies to show up and to serve at the level we desire to serve. And we will be ready for this one. We will be really ready for this one. This is going to be a sacrosanct. This is a quarterly activity. Now, this morning in the conversation about how we can show up daily, the word appreciation came up. What a great word. Recognition. Of lifting and building and adoring. These kinds of words are so powerful that our language reflect these concepts, that we never say anything harmful or hurtful. No innuendo, no little cuts, no anger. That doesn't fit if we actually want to create that vision. There's no place for it. No matter what's happened, there's just no place for it. We want to have language that's supporting. We want to be able to step into someone's world and listen to them, break down their walls of hate and suspicion. And when Dr. Hartman measured this, he measured it in this kind of a setting. Committed companions, close friends were in this kind of a setting. Even then, a person was holding back 40% of their cooperation until they felt valued. This is a beautiful thing to understand, because we want to show up valuing, lifting and building another person. Now, we do that daily, weekly, a non-negotiable date night, monthly, a day together, quarterly, a retreat, something you can look forward to. You get through almost anything if you've got something to look forward to. Person you love, person who loves you, and something to look forward to. Three keys. These are beautiful ones. So look at these activities. Consider these possibilities. You've been through coaching. Some of you have been through this review section. Have you done this? Now, there's lots of reasons why people might have a challenge. One, they might have a relationship that's abusive. And if so, all bets are off. You need to get some assistance. You'll want to talk to someone who can serve you. Some may say, well, I'm excited to do this, but my spouse isn't. You can still show up every day. And you can probably get them to go on a date. You could build from there. Do what's possible. Don't look at the whole thing and say, why even get started? I can't do any of it. Do this piece and see what you can create. One woman who was doing this by herself, her and her husband talked about it, and they decided to do the 10-second kiss. 10-second kiss. Well, you do a 10-second kiss. You know, this isn't love you, have a nice day. This is passion is awakened in 10 seconds. What a beautiful thing to do. So consider this in your relationships. In terms of your business, terms of whether you're working someplace and yet you have an employment, you're an employee, or whether you're building a business. They're really the key element that I found to the planning and goal setting. I want you to go back to the material and listen carefully to this challenge where I ask you to convert dollars into people. In other words, you want to get clear about the dollars and what they'll buy. That can get you excited because that's what's going to happen in your life. But how many lives need to be changed, impacted, enrolled, invited into your vision to create those dollars? Let us focus on the people. And let's focus on how many we will want to meet, enroll, sell, convince, whatever it might be, on a weekly basis. And let us then focus on what can I do to lift them, build them, serve them, listen to them, understand them, take down their walls of hate and suspicion which they're built in their, around them, so that I can build a bridge so that my love, my agape love, my awareness can enter their soul so they can understand what's possible. What can I do to create this in a person's life? If we do this, everything else will happen. If we don't do this, it won't matter how many financial goals we set. It won't matter. Have $2 billion a year if you want to. But if we're not talking to the people who are going to buy our products and use our services and participate in business, nothing else matters. So let's make sure we convert this to people. I want to read from you Og Mandino. He said, one grain of wheat, when multiplied 100-fold, will produce 100 stalks. Multiply these 100-fold 10 times, and they will feed all the cities of the earth. Am I not more than a grain of wheat? Today, I will multiply my value 100-fold. Well, it's time. It's a very fundamental shift. The fundamental shift goes back to the one question. What is my secret desire? Do I want to be seen? Do I want to be celebrated? Do I want to be adored? Do I want it to be easy? Do I want it to be comfortable? Or do I want to contribute and engage and create value? What is my secret desire? The promise to you is this. When your secret desire becomes service to others, when your secret desire becomes connecting and creating value, when that happens, you will receive inspired ideas and impressions of how to do that. And you are built for this. You are built to receive that inspired idea and have it light up your brain and light up your passion, passion that will drive your action. Absent this process, you will still face the work of creation. Nobody gets to skip it. Old people try to rob banks to get away from it or steal from people to do it. But in the real world, it takes the work of creation. And the work of creation is either boring, mundane, repetitious, and hard. That's what happens when we spend our vivid visualization in catastrophe and fantasy. Or it can be vision, mission, and passion driven. May we choose to use it wisely, this wonderful gift of vivid visualization in creation. Well, have a wonderful evening, everyone. Take this into your life this week. This is your week. I've said this a few times today, that the stage of life is crying out. It's crying out for courageous souls. The stage of life is crying out. We need examples of people who have been through or are going through very traumatic times who make the decision to follow these principles and to intentionally create a different outcome. They can inspire, you can inspire thousands by your own courage in doing so. May you choose to be the courageous one and use your mind to mentally create that will intentionally drive passion and action. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a great joy to be with you. May you have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next Tuesday night for our next celebration of life. Good night.